Love's Dream in Peril. Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1880. I cannot believe it's the end of term. Tomorrow we will both be leaving here forever, 17-year-old Adela May said to her dearest friend Jane Hartley, as they both prepared to go into the chapel for early morning prayers, a ritual at Mottram's school for young ladies. Jane sighed. All good things must come to an end. Adela leapt up from her dressing table, where she had been sitting, to comb out her glorious mane of golden curly hair. Oh, don't be miserable, Jane, please. Endings lead to beginnings. All sorts of good things might happen to us. The two girls, both orphans, had grown up together at the school and had always been inseparable. As they stood in the bright June sunlight streaming in through the window of Adela's bedroom, they could not have looked more different. Adela was a slight girl, small in stature, with bright golden hair and brown eyes the colour of rich honey. Her complexion was fresh and clear, and she was almost always seen with a smile on her face, for everything about her glowed with light and warmth and the joy of life. Jane Hartley was tall and slender, with smooth black hair, dark eyes, and a pale ivory complexion. Jane rarely smiled, as she was a thoughtful girl, but when she did, the true sweetness of her character shone out of her face. "No doubt they will, Adela. Shall we go down?" Jane suggested. Adela put a comb through her hair one last time. "Oh, there's just one little knot I can't untangle. But if I use this, I'm sure old Mottram will not notice." And she twisted a pink ribbon round her curls and tied it in a graceful bow. The girls at the school were not allowed to wear pink, but Adela was a favourite of the headmistress, Mrs. Mottram, and sometimes she would get away with it. "I cannot wait to have my own lady's maid when I move to London," she said. "I hope she is young and cheerful, not like Pargeter." Pargeter was the stout Oxfordshire countrywoman who acted as maid to the other pupils at the school. Being ordered about by so many young ladies sometimes made her very irritable indeed. "Well, you shall soon find out," Jane replied. "And how will you get on with your Uncle Edgar?" Uncle Edgar was Adela's guardian, her father's older brother, and he lived in a big house in London. "Well, I hardly know him," Adela answered. "He has always been very generous in paying for everything while I have been at school, but he's always away working in India. I've only met him a few times." Each time he came to the school, he asked Adela if she still enjoyed her lessons, and told her that he hoped she would be very good and do as she was told. He never once asked her what she had bought with the money that he sent to her from India. "Come on," Jane interrupted her thoughts. "We'll be late for prayers." The two girls left Adela's bright sunny bedroom and went to the chapel at the back of the house in Oxford, where Mrs. Mottram kept her school for young ladies. Mr. Mottram had been a captain in the Navy and had been lost at sea many years before. His widow, a large woman with a severe expression and a mass of thick grey hair rolled on her forehead, ran her school with the same tight discipline that her husband had employed on his ship. She cast a stern eye towards Jane and Adela as they hurried into the chapel, as they were the last to arrive. When prayers were over and a moment of peaceful silence had descended upon the rows of schoolgirls, all in the school uniform of grey dresses with white collars, the headmistress rose to her feet to address them.
"It has come to that time of year when we must bid farewell to those pupils who have completed their studies at the school," she began.
Adela stared down at her white-gloved hands and hoped that Mrs. Mottram would not say anything about her pink ribbon. Surely she would not single her out for any criticism when she was about to leave the school forever. But the headmistress did not seem to notice it.
"It is my dearest wish," she carried on, "that those who leave us will take with them not just the fluent French, the elegant dancing, the skilful drawing with which no young woman may call her."